Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is 6/11/98, and this is tape 62A, side one. So I was just asking about your family, and you had mentioned Tom, and your daughter is doing well.
She's doing, it's a tough deal for her. She's got the four children, but they're growing up and getting older, and she's doing a good job of it. And we have the five grandchildren. Tom's daughter, Megan, is a graduate of college. And the other, and Suzanne's four children are just doing very well.
So any great-grandchildren?
Oh, I know. No, not that I can tell so far. Megan, who's our best prospect, is just enjoying life.
And what about travels? Any travels you've been doing?
Last year, in terms of large travel. I've gone to, around the state at different places for different times. I've gone down to Los Angeles for a bank board meeting. But last year, I went to Japan, and that was for the dedication and opening of the Fuji Television new headquarters building, which was a huge affair. That's a big, big building. In American dollars, it seemed to me that figure was $1.3 billion for the moving in the building and then the equipment and moving in. Anyway, we went there. Dolores and I went together, and then in October I went to Beirut, Lebanon. I've been wanting to hook up with my mother's side of the family over all these years, and the opportunity came up, and I went to Beirut, Lebanon for a week. It was kind of I met my cousins that I knew I had. And it was a delight to do that. He met a cousin I didn't know I had, which was wonderful. But it was, you see the town all shot up and buildings still, just there.
It's still a mess over there.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just tragic, really. And then, it took them 15 years to shoot up the town. They were kind of anxious to get it put back together again. But I told my cousin, I said, it took you, that long to shoot, tear it down. And can't build it up in a year and a half, so. But it's kind of nice to hook up with them.
Did you go back to your family's hometown during that trip?
Well, mother came from Beirut.
Right, but I remember you telling me about the trip that you took. You went back to Syria.
And my father came from Syria. I haven't been there lately.
You haven't?
But I have been there.
Oh, you have been there?
Of recent years. I mean, I was there and the first time in 84, I think it was, and
right.
Then I was there subsequent. I've been to Syria three times of recent years, and so this trip to Beirut, Lebanon was something I've been hoping to do for a long time. Wow. But it has been quite a while since I've been back to Syria.
And I know one thing that we talked about in the last interview, and I'm not sure if it was on the tapes that we're missing or not, but I had asked you about George Attia.
Yes.
And his involvement with Opal Creek.
Yes.
and all that. So I know that the family had a mining interest there, didn't they, at one point?
My father-in-law had a mine up there, and I used to enjoy going up there. Actually, there was always something to do, mm-hmm. fixing the flume line or a few things like that, because it really wasn't operating that much as a mine. And I enjoyed going up there and going fishing. But when my father-in-law passed away, mother-in-law died first, and then my father-in-law passed away. And we finally sold it to this group from Hawaii. And there's a long history to the whole thing. And I think Nature's Conservancy funded the Friends of Opal Creek or something to buy it. But anyway, we sold it, and I'm out of it. It's just something I didn't know about or need. George was with the Hawaiian company, and then I think with the Friends of Opal Creek, and he's not with them anymore. He's not doing that.
So in looking at the recent administrations, your successors at down in Salem, what's your assessment? The people that have followed you. You've already talked a little bit about Kitzhaber.
Okay.
I mean,
You know I have some thoughts on that subject.
I know you do.
Yes. However, like when somebody asked me, what's history going to say? I said, well, somebody else is going to decide that. I'll let somebody else decide that.
But even though somebody else may decide that, they may not know how you feel about it.
Well, I'll be as fair as I can. And okay. I mean that sincerely. I went there with 20 years in the legislature and 35 years as a business person. And it's been said many times, and it's true, that no one has come to office with that kind of a background. The standards that I personally set are certainly different and with the knowledge that I had. As I told you earlier in the evening tape today, I didn't have to go to school. I got there, I was off and running. And so in terms of fairness, I must tell you that my successors, none of them, even the current one, of course, had been in the legislature, had been president of the Senate. However, he's never really been the other side of it, which was a business person. And so, to the extent that they had the ability, I guess they'd done okay. But the standard that I would apply to it, because of my particular background, they don't measure up. But I'm trying to be as fair as I can, because I had a background and experience that they don't have. So how can you really judge it in the terms of what my standard might be? According to my standard, they haven't done all that well. But according to maybe the standards that would normally apply, they probably, well, we've done pretty well. I guess that's the best I would say. You know, after having interviewed me, that probably my least favorite was my immediate successor. I think Barbara had some opportunities to tell the people of the state of the problems that were involved in terms of property tax relief and schools and all the rest, and she didn't do that. And that was the time to do that, early on in ballot 5. When I look over the whole scene, as governor, I didn't have the time. By that I mean my economists would come to me and say, Governor Attia, we're not going to have the money we thought we were going to have. And so, bang. Right away, I'm thinking about calling a special session to rebalance the budget. Ballot 5 gave you a roadmap. This year, this much, this year, that year. There was a roadmap. They could see it. They had plenty of time. They would include the legislature and the governor's office. And it wasn't a proper response to what was going on. Current governor, I think, is doing a good job. Again, I'm saying that the standard, which may be an unfair standard, meaning my own, because of my experience and background. Now let me put it another way. People have said to me, "Gee, do you miss it?" My answer is, I don't miss the process. But I missed the opportunity to get my hands on a problem that I know can be solved and is not being solved and hasn't been solved. And that's the thing that frustrates me.
And what are the problems that
ballot 5 is one of them.
Right.
There's no question about it. Maybe it's almost too late to solve that problem. I can't come up with it. But 5 is the biggest of the lot. The schools. Even crime, for example, one of the things I couldn't do as a governor, and I think that's on the tape, is that I wanted to get involved in prevention. But I couldn't do that. I didn't have the money to do that. I just keep going whatever we had to do. But, instead of talking about jails, prevention. Well, nobody's gotten involved in prevention, and I can't seem to convince anybody that they ought to get involved with it. Yet to me, it's the most important thing. from the station of governor, for whatever it's worth, I think, you know, they talk about, you know, that I belong to the National Rifle Association and life member and been there for a long while. But I hope that doesn't taint what I'm going to say, that the minute there is this terrible tragedies that have been taking place, most recently in Springfield, Oregon, that the first thing you say, got to do something about guns. Well, I don't watch the television, but you see coming attractions and the movies and of the TV programs, and everybody's got a machine gun and they're blowing up buildings and they're jumping in and out of bed, and you see these movie stars and have children without being married and all, and then they say to me that children are being influenced by the ads for Joe Camel, so we're going to pass a whole congressional act to say you can't do that with Joe Camel. If they're being influenced by some advertising for Joe Camel, what in the hell are they being, and not only that, but video games. Well, nobody's going to pay attention to and I don't mean this pathetically, a former governor, but from the position of governor, that's where I would be talking about things like that. Not as a matter to be defending in the NRA, it's a matter that I'm saying, hey, is it just the guns? You know, it is true if you really think about it, and I don't mean to put a cliche to it, say guns don't kill people, people kill people. What's true? The gun just laying there until that young man in Springfield picked it up and started shooting. It was just laying there.
But a lot of people would say that it's a combination, and it's not only the people that are creating the problem, but it's the accessibility to the weapon. You know, that you have less. You have, for instance, you have a license for a car. You have license for other things. How come you don't have a license for guns? How come they can't control?
Again, this is, I'm trying to be practical, not defending. I'm the NRA.
Yeah.
But there are so many. Unless one were to say, and no one ever would, we're going to confiscate all the guns in the United States from everybody. And unless you do that, there's no assurance, because they'll be stolen. There'll be just like saying prohibition, there's going to be an underground. If somebody wants a gun, they're going to get a gun. And it's true. The only one that really is affected is an honest person. You're going to register a gun. I'm going to register the gun. If it's the law, I'll do that. But can you imagine the crook's going to go register a gun? They're not going to register a gun. Now, again, this isn't defensive. I'm saying, I'm getting to the practical side of it. I wrote a letter to Kennedy, only because he sent me a letter.
Asking, Kennedy?
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, when I say he sent a letter, obviously he didn't know he sent a letter to me, but, you know, but some money for anti-guns. And where was I going to go with this? I've lost my train of thought on it. I was heading for. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is, I know. His objective and mine is the same. I am not advocating for people to go out and kill people as an NRA member or injure people with a gun. I'm not for that. I'm for what they're for, which is to not have that happen, to have safety. As a gun collector, I never had a loaded gun in the house, ever. Well, that's not quite right. I came back once from my vacation in the mine, and about several days later, and I remember this. I had my gun up on a shelf in the closet. My kids couldn't get it, but when I finally discovered that I had it there and it was loaded, I was really very upset, personally upset. My children knew about safety of guns. I told them about that. And that's what you really need to do. Just like you have to learn how to drive. And so I am not for killing people with guns, but I'm for the practical way of trying to achieve public safety. And that's where I'm coming from. I am not a purist in terms of the NRA, you know, all the things that they oppose, I don't necessarily oppose. And I think sometimes they go a little bit too far. But basically, I think they're really on the right side. And so what we're doing, I'm afraid of what we're doing, is not going to achieve what we all want. If you just say, all right, let's clamp down on the guns, you really, and then say, oh, now we solve the problem. The tape didn't pick that up. We really haven't solved the problem. What we've done is we've said, okay, you can't use a gun. You can use a knife, you can use a club, you can use a bat, you can use whatever you want, right, but you can't use a gun. And all of those things I just said could happen as long as you have all this mayhem going over on this other side.
And yet the consequences of using bats and knives and clubs are not nearly as devastating as the consequences of easy access to guns, and also not only are criminals able to get a hold of guns, which they might be able to do in any case, but a lot of crimes are done out of passion. And I'm not necessarily thinking of the kid in the Springfield school that shot everybody, but things that are done on a more or less spontaneous basis, that accessibility allows them to do things that have great consequences. Whereas a legitimate gun owner who has.
All right. So, let me ask a question. What could we have done to prevent the young man in Springfield from doing what he did?
When you go into a specific like that, I don't know, because I haven't really studied the case. But obviously, he did have.
Did you see? I'm not trying to be.
Right. But for instance, they're trying to have locks on guns. Obviously, there wasn't a lock on this gun.
But these aren't necessarily family guns. As a matter of fact, he was initially picked up with a gun stolen from a friend's house.
That's right.
And so, I'm not trying to be practical about what it is. Okay, okay, let's back up here. And how could we have stopped this from happening? And why was it initially done? Who knows? It may have even been because of what they call copycat stuff, because of the other shootings that took place. Who knows what's in this kid's head?
Right.
Apparently, he was building bombs at home.
He had problems. There's no doubt about it.
And I'd have to think his parents had some forewarning of something like that. I'm not trying to give you a simple answer.
Right. I know.
These are complex problems.
That's right.
But I have to say to you that how we could ignore a huge part of what's creating this tension in the United States. And I can't help but believe it's all of the stuff we watch on television. And I don't know, I don't play these video games, but you see them shooting and doing all kinds of things on the video games.
Right.
The kids are there doing it all the time. I can't help but believe that has something to do with it. And how Congress and the President can say, and they've said it, that Joe Camel is bad and we're going to pass legislation not to allow Joe Camel because the ads are affecting the children to smoke. Doesn't this affect children also? But they don't shift over to this side. If Joe Camel incidentally was, I think, pretty low profile. I don't recall where Joe Camel comes into this thing myself. But it wasn't, on television every day. But it was bad. How can this other stuff be good? Or not, I don't think everybody says it's good, but how can it not be bad? Anyway, we could have a debate, a reasonable, logical debate. You and I can have one, but not some people. There would not be a reasonable,
logical
debate.
Well, that's right, because people get polarized on their views, and they don't think rationally.
Yeah.
But anyways, I would wonder then, sort of in conclusion, what kind of advice you would give to Oregonians and people that want to that aspire to go into politics or political service and
I've said
to the state in general.
First of all, let's talk about the potential candidate. And I've actually said this, and then we go to a candidate school, and I said, now look, if you are getting involved in political office, because you have some strong feelings about our system of government, because that you want to right some injustices, or because you believe, have some things you want to solve, God bless you and I hope you win. If, however, you're going in because it's for your ego or you think you'd make more money or this is a neat deal, it'd be called a senator or a house member or whatever. Mm-hmm. I hope you lose. I don't want you to be there. So my advice is, you know, first of all, you go in for the right reasons. You start in the politics for the right reasons, not for any other reason than the reasons. This is a democracy. This is what's called a representative form of government. Now, what does that mean? What that means really is that Vic, I can't be governor. You go be governor for me. Vic, I can't be a House member. You go be a House member, or a state senator, or a school board member, or the water district board. I can't do that. You go do it for me. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Which also means you're supposed to represent the people. Now, that's not to be interpreted that you're supposed to do, you know, what you say, or what he say, or what I say, or somebody else says. It's what all of us say. But you got to listen to that. You got to keep your ears open for that. Mm-hmm. If you don't listen, you won't be able to discern that's what people want. Over the years, I've observed there's got people who run for office. I've seen them, and that's both Republican and Democrat, and they will try to be what they think the people think they should be, which varies, depends on what audience they're talking to. So then they get elected and they come down the legislature and they are absolutely the most skittish people in the world because they don't really know who they are or who they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I was never that way. I'd go out, as I told you on the tape before, and that's who I am, this is what I've done, and I try to make, and they elect me and I feel pretty good about it, and I continue doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not nervous. And if they don't like this, I've told you, if they don't like what I'm doing, I'll go back to the rug business. So my whole point is that you go there with the intention of doing the right thing for the right reasons, and you do well. Mm-hmm. But we need that not only on the state level, we need that in Congress. Congress is a real disappointment. And I would even escalate that to President of the United States. How Americans could have elected Bill Clinton over George Bush is something I don't think I'll ever understand. I've said, if we said during the course of that election, gentlemen, we have the office of president open. Would you each hand in your resumes and we'll hire the best one? Would never have hired Bill Clinton. If you compare George Bush's resume with Bill Clinton's resume. But that's not the way politics work. So, what do I say to the people? They have to be more discerning. They have to pay more attention to their society. They have to, that doesn't mean they study. They don't have time for that. That's what they're supposed to do. Just be a little more aware, a higher level of awareness. Listen to the news. Read the newspaper a little bit, and don't take, you know, it's not a study, just kind of keep up with what's going on, and then you'll be a better elector.
How has your philosophy of life evolved in the recent years, or has it changed at all, or are you added things to it, or?
No, strange how it is, you know, I am what I am, and that's what I am, and I keep telling my wife, God, honey, we've been married 54 years, you know, quit trying to change me. I still try to be as good a person as you can. There are times that I'm sure my wife gets very frustrated with me. And say, you know, I said, I don't think my wife could stand me all day at home. I mean, we love each other. We've been married. It'll be 54 years this July. 54 years, yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. That's more. She's to be congratulated for her patience. And, but it's just that, I guess at this age, this stage of my life, not much. I did stop smoking so much. What more do you want from me?
Yes, well, congratulations there, too.
Thank you, my friend. Well, there are times, it's not been that tough, but I thought, well, gee, wouldn't it be neat kind of a smoke, but it's not been a yearning. Mm-hmm. You just thought, well, it'd be kind of nice, but I don't really miss it that much, and it's done.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to
thank
add
you.
To this?
I do thank you and the Society for letting me have this last shot here. And maybe it's a roadmap. Maybe some historian would might want to follow. At least we said some things that I'd like to have him follow and find out about it. And now I feel a little bit better about it.
Well, I appreciate all the time that you've taken, not only just this today, but of course this is almost 63 hours that we've done this. And so we really appreciate your contribution to this history. So
that too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Clark.